Thank you, ladies. God bless you. Great song. If you have your Bibles with you, would you please turn again with me to this time to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, page 1279, if you have a King James Scofield Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Follow along as I begin reading in verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. I want to talk to you this morning to moms. The message is to all of our moms today. The others, you might want to catch some of the crumbs that fall off the table if you'd like to do that. But this is for mothers. I want to talk to you about mothers of faith. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for the good blessings, and we thank you again for our moms. And now we come to this most important part of a service, the preaching of your word. I pray, Father, that you'll just help me to preach your word, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I pray you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. I pray there'll be no interruptions during the message. I pray if there's one mom here that doesn't know Christ, that at the invitation she'll trust him as Lord and Savior. And I pray you'd bless your word as it goes out in Jesus' name. Amen. In a day when wickedness and sinfulness covers our globe, it's hard to find heroes. It's hard to find good examples to pattern our lives after. They're certainly not found in the entertainment field. They're not found in the sports field. And they're certainly not found in the political arenas. But let me tell you where they are found. They are found in godly mothers. My mother was a great example of godliness, and when I was growing up, she was my hero. I never, ever heard her swear. I never saw her smoke cigarettes. I never saw her drink any kind of alcoholic beverages. She was always faithful and true to my dad, and she provided for her 6 children by taking in washings and ironings for many years to help meet the bills. The mother of our 4 sons is also a hero. She does more than most 5 people could ever do. Now, she's not perfect, but she did marry a perfect husband, and that kind of rubs off on her a little bit. Many of you mothers here on this Mother's Day are heroes to many of us. Thank God there are still some outstanding examples of motherhood in our church, and I'm sure around this country. But instead of making heroes out of godly moms, the media instead chooses those who've had multiple divorces and many affairs and live on drugs and alcohol. Let me tell you this Mother's Day about one mother and what she put into her son. Look again at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. I suppose that there is nothing that can bandage a cut, dry a tear, or cure a cold like the love and care of a mother. Mothers are by nature givers. Many spend their entire lives giving to their husbands and their children. When there is an emergency, mom is usually the first one on the scene. When there's a need for a new dress or a new pair of shoes, mom usually is the one to make sure the need is met. However, the greatest gift a mother can give her child is not materialism. The greatest gift that moms can give their children is the gift of her faith, which she has in the Lord Jesus Christ. Children grow up hearing of God's faithfulness, and they learn at an early age how to face up to life's ups and downs with a sense of peace and security. They know that no matter what happens, God is in control. And even if a child strays from the truth of God's word, the testimony of a godly mother will remain hidden in his heart. Keep your finger there in 2 Timothy and go back to that familiar verse in Proverbs chapter 22, page 687 in your Bible. Proverbs chapter 22, and look with me or listen as I read verse number 6, Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, he may go astray for a while, and he may turn away from church for a while, and even turn away from God for a while. But because of the training his mother and dad gave to him, he will come back, or she will come back. A godly foundation is hard to erase, and in time, it yields its rewards. One of the reasons that our society has become so self-seeking is because children lack a sense of identity. When we give our children the gift of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we help them to gain God's perspective. They learn at an early age that they are important to God, not because of what they do in life, but because God created them for His pleasure. And when they're saved, He comes and lives inside of them. The Apostle Paul told Timothy here in our two text verses for this Mother's Day, he said, thank God for your grandmother and thank God for your mother that gave you this gift of faith. And now always renew that gift of faith, always rekindle it and keep it alive. Paul is writing to Timothy at the end of this great apostle's life. He has for the most part now transferred the mantle of his ministry to his younger apprentice. He knew Timothy had received a solid foundation of faith from his mother and his grandmother. The task that Paul gave Timothy to do was tremendous. Paul had spent 2 years establishing and building a very strong church in Ephesus, a city that was filled and entrapped by the worship of the goddess Diana. When it was time for Paul to move on, Timothy was his chosen successor. He knew that when the going got rough, Timothy would cling to his faith and not give up. And I hope you mothers, when the going gets tough, you'll cling to your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and never give up and never quit. This was the gift that Eunice gave to her son Timothy, the gift of faith. I think so often of single moms and what a terrible, hard job they have to do. The number of single moms in our nation continues to grow by leaps and bounds. For whatever reason, they have been left to face the burden of raising children alone. Many of these women are frustrated and frightened about what the future holds. My wife's mother, Grandma Allen, was left alone to raise her 3 young children after her husband was killed in a train automobile accident. And she struggled having to work 2 full-time jobs for many, many years. But she would never give up and she would never quit. She was determined to raise her kids and raise them with morality and upright. She taught them good morals and honesty and integrity and to have good manners. I'm sure there were many, many times in her life when she said, I just can't go on. I can't raise these kids. I've got to work too much. I just better send them out to somebody else so they can raise them and do a better job than I can ever do. But she didn't. I know of no one who is more Christ-like than the mother of our 4 sons. I have seen her in the past 50 years face some difficult times, but her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and gave her victory over all of those times. Single moms and married moms, don't ever give up and don't ever quit on your kids. Our great God never gives up on you, and you're never to give up on your children. I know you have many responsibilities and challenges and difficulties and hardships and heartaches, but God understands those times when you are weary and frustrated, and it's at those times that He comes to your aid. Timothy's father was a pagan Greek. He was not a viable link in Timothy's spiritual growth, but Eunice sure was. We can only imagine her trials and heartaches and frustrations as she tried to raise her son to worship and honor God without any help from the dad whatsoever. It was obvious that from birth, Eunice intended to raise Timothy in the way that God wanted him to go because she chose a name for him that meant one who honors God. The Apostle Paul could have chosen any number of theological expressions to encourage his young successor. Instead, the Apostle chose the one topic that had the most potential for encouragement, and that was the memory of his mother's faith. Paul tells Timothy, when things get rough, and they will, and when you think you're going to give up, you don't do that, you don't give up, you don't quit. I want you to think back on that faith that you learned from your mother and your grandmother. And when people hurt you and hate you and seek to destroy you, remember your faith that you learned as a child and kindle afresh that gift of God which is in you. Some people today are more concerned about giving their children automobiles and clothes and money than they are a godly spiritual heritage. God has a lot to say about leaving your children with a godly spiritual legacy. You may be a grandparent here this morning. We've seen the hands of many grandparents. And you may think, well, my children are all grown now, so my responsibility as a godly influence, it's all over. But it is not. It is never over. A parent's responsibility may change with time, but it is never done. There's always a need for prayer and godly counsel. Grandparents often have a life-changing influence on the lives of their grandchildren. I want to have a godly influence on my 11 grandchildren. Now, there are certain building blocks, mothers, that you can use to lay a godly foundation of faith for your children. And I want to give you a few of them this morning. You've got a sheet in the insert in your bulletin that's listed there. Number one, moms need to be alert to any danger signs their children may show. Moms need to be alert to any danger signs their children may show. If you sense a problem, take time to find out what it is and then go to God in prayer and ask Him to give you wisdom to know how to handle it. Help your children learn that God is not up in heaven judging everything that happens on earth with an iron rod. No, He's a loving, caring, and understanding Heavenly Father. And once they grasp this, they will want to trust Him and learn more about Him. Number two, teach your children the principles of God. Teach your children the principles of God. Children can ask question after question about life and the reasons certain things happen in certain ways. Each time you can go to God's Word and take God's Word and show them what He has to say about a certain issue. We help them learn a little more about the love and faithfulness of God. But don't overdo it. You can't spiritualize everything your children bring to you. You may end up building unnecessary legalisms into their lives. The idea is to help them to understand that they can bring anything to God in prayer and faith in Him, and it is always the best choice. Nothing is too horrible or grave or simplistic for the Lord. Number three, establish a pattern in your life that reflects the life of Jesus Christ. Establish a pattern in your life that reflects the life of Jesus Christ. Children learn how to handle life by watching and listening to their parents. If you react by faith, they will react by faith. But if you respond in fear, then more than likely they will follow your example. Pray with your children. Talk to them about how you make decisions based on God's guidance. I trust that our four sons have learned this from their parents, and I think they have. They saw the faith that mom and dad exhibited back in 1973 when we set out to start a church and we didn't know how to do it. We didn't know anything about it. We were not educated. We didn't have any body. But they saw that we stepped out in faith and how God blessed that faith. And now they can step right out in faith knowing God's going to take care of it and God's going to bless. Mom, set a pattern in your life concerning your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will motivate your children to do the same thing. Now there will be times when you will make a terrible mistake. Don't hesitate to tell your child, honey, mom blew it, and I am so sorry. I've asked God to forgive me, and now I'm asking you to forgive me. Will you forgive me? When your children see you humbling yourselves before God and standing on His promises of forgiveness and mercy, they will grow up with a humble spirit, knowing that God loves them regardless of the mistakes they may make. Number four, be persistent in your faith. Be persistent in your faith. Teach your children the difference between right and wrong according to God's Word. When they are at school or with their peers, then they will know the truth. They will know what to do. They will know how to act. If you are currently facing some situation, don't budge in your decisions. A godly mother must be rooted and grounded in the truth of this book. No matter how much opposition, rejection, or foul language your teen may throw at you, stand strong and hold on to the principles that God has given you in His Word. Raising children is difficult even in ideal circumstances. With the evil that has permeated our society and the immorality that has a hold on our nation, we must be steadfast in the discipline of our children. When you stand firm and refuse to weaken in your decisions, your children will eventually appreciate your firmness and feel safe, secure, and loved. Don't worry if your children think you're outdated, because God's truth is always updated, and God's word and God's truth is always relevant. Number five, participate in your child's life. Participate in your child's life. If you are going to build a foundation of faith in your children's life, then you must get on the level of interest by giving your time and energy to hear what they have to say about their dreams and their hopes for the future. Guard against any negative feedback. Children need to know that certain times when they try certain things, that mom and dad won't always say to them, "Well, that's not going to work. You're wasting your time. We didn't like it, and you won't either." Give your children room to express themselves. And when you do this, you are laying groundwork for creativity and a healthy esteem for your child. God wants us to know that He is our best friend. And your children need to know that you are their best friend. They need to know that mom is on their side. Number six, learn to praise your children for the good things they do. Be light on criticism and heavy on praise. Learn to praise your children for the good things they do. Be light on criticism and heavy on praise. Parents, the greatest motivator that we can have concerning our children is praise. We are raising a generation of children that are angry. They seldom experience praise, and they frequently don't feel loved. They don't feel cared for by their parents. And when they become adults, they can transfer this sense of rejection to God. And you don't want that to happen. A little praise goes a long way in teaching your children or your child the principles of God and God's grace toward us. And then number seven, pray for and with your children. Pray for and with your children. Prayer is the most effective tool that a parent can employ. When our first two boys, David was probably two and Don was about one, the four of us at bedtime would go into their bedroom, and we'd all get down on our hands and knees, and we'd have prayer and have family devotions. We continued to do that when Terry came along. We continued to do it when Jeff came along. And then when they got up into their teenage years, then they had their own private devotions. It's not any wonder all of these boys got saved. It's not any wonder they're all serving the God in some churches today. That's no wonder. It's no wonder that they all married born-again ladies. It's no wonder that several of our grandchildren have now come to know the Lord and have been baptized, and the younger ones will when they become of age. When we were down and seeing Kathleen in Florida a few days ago, when it came mealtime, we'd all gather around the table, and they'd say, "Now, Olivia, it's time to pray before we eat." And immediately, that quick, they're training their children and raising them in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. When you pray for your children, you lay a godly foundation in their lives that can never be shaken. Prayer is open communication between you and God and your child. And nothing is as bonding as this. It was Timothy's faith that carried him through the difficult times in Ephesus. Even though he was discipled by Paul, it was his mother's persistence, participation, praise, and prayers that laid a strong and immovable foundation of faith within his life. I wonder, moms, what kind of faith are you passing on to your children? Does it reflect God's love? Does it reflect God's forgiveness? Does it reflect God's mercy and understanding? Now, maybe you never thought of trying these principles that I've just given you before now. It's never too late to start. Never. Even if your children are growing, you can still pray for them, and you should. You should become interested in their lives. You should encourage them, if they're not in church, to get into church and live for God. There are many things that affect our lives, but the love and care of godly mothers can never, ever be replaced. I hope and pray that all of you moms and grandmas will take seriously these things that I've shared with you this morning. I wonder, could there be a mom or anyone else in our audience this morning that you have never yet received Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior? If you haven't, what a better day to do that than on this Mother's Day. And we're going to give you that opportunity. May we bow in prayer together, please. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word and the teachings of the Holy Spirit. And Father, it's so tough to be a mom. I know how tough it is to be a dad, but it's got to be so much more being a mom. It seems like they just have more responsibilities. So I pray that you'll give all of our moms here that faith that Timothy got from his grandma and from his mom. I pray you'll give that to these moms and these grandmas here today. And should there be one mom or a grandma here that doesn't know Christ as Savior, they don't know they're going to heaven when life is over, or anyone else, I pray that they'll be convicted of the Holy Spirit of their needs of Christ. I pray that they might see a picture of him hanging on that old rugged cross as he died to pay their sin debt. I pray they'll see him as they put the nails through his hands and feet and the crown of thorns upon his brow. I pray they might see him as the soldier took a spear and plunged it into his side. I pray that they might see him as he walks out of that tomb that first Easter Sunday morning. And I pray that they might see that shed blood and that resurrection and realize he's the only way to ever get into heaven. He said himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." If we're going to go to heaven, we've got to go through Jesus Christ. I pray you'll help some folks make that decision at the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with